me and honor the reading of the word of the Lord in turning to the book of Psalm. Thank you to the praise team and the musicians for ministering this morning. And this is a faithful team that the Lord has placed together for these days and these times, and appreciate the faithfulness. And I want to thank Brother Parra publicly for being the boots on the ground for Friday night, for finding the location and making it happen. And I'm thankful for all that God is doing. And to God be the glory. You don't want your kids to miss this week. It's going to be a big week for our kids. Psalm 102 and 12 says, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto some generations," all generations. The New Living Translation says, "But you, O Lord, will sit on your throne forever. Your fame will endure to every generation." Verse 17, skipping down to verse 17, it says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." Another rendition says, "He will turn to the prayer of the forsaken and not despise their prayer."
That's so good.
The New Living Translation says, "He will listen to the prayers of the destitute. He will not reject their pleas." Verse 18 says, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth." Notice this. "To hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those that are appointed to death." He will regard, or he will listen to the prayers of the forsaken, the destitute. "This shall be written for the generation to come." And I want to talk to you this morning on this, or this afternoon, on this thought, the fine print. The fine print. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? I know you got your Bibles in your hand, but just begin to lift your voices to the Lord. Can we do that? Come on, RT, let's lift our voices this morning. Come on. The seed is good, it's always good. But let the soil of our heart, let it be good ground this morning. Come on, apostolics. That word, oh God, is good. But let my heart be open, ready to receive your word, God. Let it penetrate deep, God. Let it, God, be a discerner of the intents and the thoughts, oh God. And we thank you. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. This psalm is what we would refer to as a messianic psalm. It's a prayer of the afflicted. It starts, if you notice, in Psalm 102 and 1. It starts and it's telling us about a prayer. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." And I struggled with this title, because when you hear about you got to read the fine print, sometimes it has a negative connotation, but not always. So I want the fine print tonight, this afternoon, to be something positive. So reading the fine print is really the printed matter in small type. And it's reading and understanding the fine print of it being essential. And so I want us just to understand today that the fine print isn't necessarily a negative thing. I wonder if today, if anybody could seriously go back into your mind, maybe of a with refunds and rebates, or you remember back in the I don't know if it was a good old day, but it was back in the day when they had layaway, right? You remember layaway, you got the fine print in there. You get on the 29th day, you get there and get all your money back except the $6 that Kmart would keep for their processing fee. Or thank the Lord for the fine print when it comes to returning, or with electronics, or those that are in school and in college, the fine print of the syllabus, reading that and say, well, it doesn't matter if you go to class or not, and as long as you turn in the work and you at least pass the test, well, you could skip all the class you want. Thank the Lord for fine print. C's get degrees as well, and but or car repair or insurance or mortgage documents, but it's the fine print. And we've become a society of misinformation and interpretation based off of personal convenience. I'm going to say that again. We've become a society of misinformation and interpretation of personal convenience. We've seen the tearing down of fences, both spiritually and philosophically. And all of a sudden, somebody, maybe because they had a Garfield dream or they had too much lasagna the night before, they have a new perspective, a new revelation that is nowhere in the Word of God. And we've seen this with lately, the last 2 years or so, we've seen the challenging of what we would call the Constitution or the laws. And at the National Constitution Center or the National Archive Museum in Washington, D.C., it's the home of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And these are what we would refer to as our founding documents. You're going to find there these rare copies of these documents. These are three important documents in American history. And I know it's summer break, and I know some of you, like me, don't want to go back and take any classes, but most importantly, the Declaration and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are based on the fact that all people have certain fundamental rights that government created are to protect. And at the same time, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights are different kinds of documents with different purposes. The Declaration was designed to justify breaking away from a government. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights were designed to establish a government. These stand on their own. These were written in. Some have been amended, but the Declaration stands on its own. It's never been amended. While others may have been amended at some times, but the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, these are something that we as the people of the United States of America that we can stand on. We should be able to look at these and reference these documents. These have inspired other countries to be able to see the democratic lifestyle that we live. These are documents that are written in fine print, and these are rights that we have, regardless of what others may think about us. Amen. Regardless of what others may feel or perceive about us as Americans, whether they disagree or agree with our standard of living, our lifestyle, our rights, our freedoms, whether with all the craziness going on right now, let's just call it like it is. The Bible calls it perilous times. We still have rights. We still have rights that if we choose to exercise those rights, we have those rights. And when things get out of line or government or people try to hinder, limit, or change these boundaries, we have documents that we can go to and we can refer to. And let's just be honest, sometimes people come up with all kinds of crazy things and they twist words. But when you go back and look at these documents, it doesn't say what they're trying to do. It was never the intent, or it was never the spirit of the law, as we learn. But written in fine print are things that we can go back to and establish as a people. And it's no different for us today. Is that there's lots of twisting. There's lots of changing. Well, let's challenge this, and let's challenge that, and let's update this, and let's be more relevant with this law, and that's not what it meant, and this state is doing this, and that state's doing this, and the federal government can't do this, and counties can't do this, and health departments can't do this, and law enforcement shouldn't do this. Well, can I tell you, everybody has got an opinion. Just ask him. But that doesn't work that way in the spirit realm. Can I preach to a church this morning that I love and remind us all that the Word of God is more than just a reference point for us on Sundays? But rather, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So read the fine print of the Word of God, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. Can I tell you, we've got to love the fine print of the Word of God. We've got to appreciate the fine print of the Word of God. In fact, it was Jesus that declared in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. We can't say we love God and then look in the Scriptures and try to twist it to mesh with our lifestyle or the conditions of our heart. Can I tell you that the heart is deceitful above all things? God knows the heart, and he's greater than our hearts. We've got to fall in love with the fine print of the Word of God. It doesn't change. We can't add to it. We can't take away to it. In fact, the Scripture says, if I or an angel preach any other gospel or anything to you, let them be accursed. Can I tell us here this morning that just as this weekend we're celebrating Independence Day, can I tell you, our name has been changed when we were baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Our past was erased. We're a new creature in Christ, and we've got written in the fine print and the pages of the Word of God that the Word of God is a sure document. Never forget that it's all about Jesus. Every song is about him. All our worship should be about him. Every prayer needs to be about him. Every sermon needs to be about him. Every word needs to be about him. Every hand clap is about him. And every praise needs to be about him. There's fine prints of words like 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And I know it may sound old-fashioned, but living right is still right. Being holy on the inside and allowing it to be exemplified in our outward appearance is still biblical and pleasing unto the Lord. Yes, we're apostolic in doctrine. We're Pentecostal in experience. But we're holiness in lifestyle. It's written in the pages, in fine print of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written in fine print. For I am, be holy, for I am holy. If there was ever a time for us, RT, as Christians, to be holy in conversation and in our appearance, it's now. As the wheels of this untoward generation begin to fall off, the Lord is positioning a people to be a chosen generation, to be a royal priesthood, to be a holy nation. Peculiar, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord has commissioned us to let our light shine. He has equipped us with the Holy Ghost. The power of the living God resides in us, and it's his power, when it is activated, that delivers and saves and forgives and blesses and restores and redeems his people, not once, not twice, but over and over and over again. Thank the Lord it's written in fine print that his mercies are renewed every morning. We cannot take for granted what has been handed down to us knowing that what has been preserved and handed down to us was not given to us in vain. But 2 Peter 1 and 20 saying, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why when we read in the scriptures words like Psalm 119 and 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against it. We've got the fine print of the word of God. It's not just inspiring and encouraging, but there are some do's and there are some don'ts and some absolutes, like Exodus 20 and 13, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 15, thou shalt not steal. Exodus 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Somebody say, read the fine print.
Read the fine print.
It's not just a recommendation. When Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 and 5, when he begins to say, except a man be born again of water and spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it was exemplified in Acts 2 and 38, written in fine print for us today, when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and began to proclaim, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it gets better, because written in fine print in our Bible, there's a promise that's declared. And we've got it in writing. You ever tell somebody, well, I need it in writing? It's not necessarily a bad thing. We got it in writing that the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. They're afar off. That's okay. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So regardless of how we feel, what we think, or what the trends of society prefer, it's written in fine print. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, somebody say, these words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. I'm thankful today for the fine print of the word of God. It's more than recommendations. It's more than standards. It's more than poetry. It's more than Bible history. It's more than letters to the church. It's the infallible, inspired word of God. And we need it more today than ever before. We need to be reminded of Isaiah 40 and 8, that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God stands forever. Because there's we know that we read in the scripture of the days and age that we're living in, but we got to understand something today, saints of God. Here, Pastor Pinero, I may break my word. I may say one thing and then I can't keep my commitment. You may say one thing and not be able to keep your commitment. Sometimes we have broken promises and things just out of our control of life, and we've got disappointments all around us, and well, we'll talk about this later, but the scripture tells us, written in fine print, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. If God makes a promise, his word does not return void. That's written in fine print. You ever tell somebody, or somebody ever tell you, don't believe everything you read? Can I tell you? Believe everything you read in the Word of God. We live in a suspicious society. Some of you have the gift of suspicion. Some of us have trust issues. because of the fine print in people's words and actions. They say one thing and they do another. They tell you what you want to hear and then they drop you like it's hot. Can I just say that in this firework season, make sure you read the fine print. So don't blow off your fingers. When you're getting alone, it's important to read the fine print. But there's no reason to be suspicious of the Lord. He doesn't lie. He's confidential. He loves you. He's just. He's merciful. He really knows what's going on and knows about everything about everybody. Aren't you glad he knows and not the police officer knows? Or come on, somebody. But the psalmist tells us, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In fine print, Jesus tells us in John that in the world you shall have tribulation, trouble. Some of you are looking around saying, trouble's right here. But written in fine print, Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them. Oh. It's the fine print many times that will keep you out of trouble when you read it. Like when they say 0% interest if you pay it off in full in 90 days. You read that fine print. But it's the fine print of Psalm 1 and 119 and 9. The psalmist says, where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Sometimes you begin to wonder, and when you begin to wonder, you begin to wander. And we don't need to be wandering and wondering suspiciously about the word of God. We've got to understand that his word is settled. We've got to understand what our scripture setting this morning brings us to a powerful understanding of Psalm 102 and 12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. That regardless of what we face, regardless of what we go through, regardless of how good things are, or perhaps how perilous they may become, the word of the Lord in Psalm 102 and 17 says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Come on, somebody. That's written in fine print. He will not forsake the prayer of his people. He'll hear you. He'll answer. And when he answers, it's the right answer at the right time. And he knows just what we need. It's the God that we serve today. Uphill battles may come. Sickness may linger. Gas prices are going to go up. The devil is a liar. But we have a heavenly Father that will not forsake us. King David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can I tell you, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. It's written in writing. He says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. It's written in for fine print. He said, with what measure you give, you shall receive. He's going to take care of his people. It's written right here in fine print. People are coming to our services because they're hungry. Not for free fellowship after church, but they're hungry. Because the world has left them high and dry. And People are coming to churches, churches because they're broken. And people are coming into our services because they have family that's fallen apart. And they walk in and they're confused and they're suspicious and they're wounded. And we've got to make sure that we don't deviate from our apostolic doctrine, our Pentecostal experience, our holiness and lifestyle. We've got to make sure we're traveling due north towards heaven, and we keep a right spirit, a right attitude, and we don't come in criticizing, condemning, living offended in a bad spirit. But oh God, help us to be like David. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I want to have it in fine print where I hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you're a guest here today, let me tell you something, that there's more than what you're experiencing today. There's someone who will never disappoint you. There's someone who will never leave you. There's someone that'll never let you down. You may have tried every pill and every bottle and every club and everything under the sun, but can I tell you, maybe you've come in and you're feeling like you're forsaken, like you're feeling a little suspicious. You're wondering if these people, can they really be that friendly? Do they really look that good? Could I tell you, if you really knew who you were sitting next to, you'd walk out right with me. But could I tell you, thank God we're not who we used to be. Such were some of you. Written in fine print, baby. Heaven's going to be filled with all kinds of people. And there's all kinds of people in this building that are overcomers because of the word, of their testimony, because of God's mercy. He will not regard the prayer of the forsaken. If he's healed you before, he can heal you again. If he's delivered you before, he can deliver you again. Come on, somebody. I'll testify. If he put your marriage together once, he can put it back together again. If they were filled with the Holy Ghost once, they can be refilled once again. I'll testify. He will not despise the prayers of the destitute. But he hears our prayers, Brother Duhart. Psalmist writes, if you're taking notes here this morning, you want to circle this. Notice this, Psalm 18 and 6. But in my distress I cried, or I called unto the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Another rendition says, but in my distress I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. There's one thing that we can do that'll get the attention of heaven, and that is to pray and talk to the Lord and begin to talk to him about everything and everybody. I know some of you have that temptation to let everybody on social media know about everything, about what's going on. But can I tell you, there's somebody that you really need to talk to about everything and about everything, everybody, and his name is Jesus. He's the one that can change, deliver, bless, heal, forgive, restore, make new again. His name is Jesus. And in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. It's written in fine print in the word of God. Yeah. Scripture says in Jeremiah 33 and 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, I'm using this as an example. But sometimes we get more passionate because the solar man didn't hook our stuff up right. as an example. Or the mechanic didn't get our car done in time. We got places to go. Or the boss never got back to us about our request for time off. And so we become that irritating person that at 8:01 we're calling. My car ready yet? Oh, we'll have to get back to you this afternoon after lunch. Okay. 12:59 we're calling. My car ready yet? I'll wait on the line. That works, by the way. And but when we got a request or we need God to do something, we pray once and we leave it, and then we're like, oh, well, so sad, not going to happen. But the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Yeah. Knock and it shall be open. Persistency. Importunity. It's just to keep coming. I'm looking. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Come on, somebody. It's written in the fine print of the Word of God. If there be two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So sometimes you got to do what Brother Jurazik preached on Wednesday night. You got to get someone else and say, I can't tell you what I need you to pray about. It's unspoken, but just pray with me. I need a prayer partner. I need someone to pray with me, God, so you can move in the situation. I need to recruit someone else to pray with me, to fast with me, because he's not going to despise the prayer of his people. He's going to hear your prayer. Can I tell you, some of you have been praying and fasting and praying and complaining and praying and wondering, where are you at? Oh God, can I tell you, he's right where he's always been, high and lifted up. And when he answers, he's going to answer at the right time. It's written. Psalmist says in Psalm 34 and 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. Yeah. But you got to be righteous.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's what it says in fine print. And deliver them out of some, all their troubles.
Thank you, Jesus.
The generation to come is amongst us. I don't know why every time I get to this point talking about this, I get emotional, probably because of the pressure I feel and the responsibility, Aunt Terry. But there are people under the sound of my voice here today that you are the rapture generation.
Yeah.
And the word of God does not return void.
Amen.
And this weekend we're going to celebrate Independence Day. We're going to burn money. Just saying. We're going to have ice cream. It's going to be 110 degrees in Bakersfield. God pray for them. Or people pray for them. Hot dogs. And when it's all over, all of us will have is just a memory, maybe a picture, stomach ache, credit card bill to look forward to, and a date on the calendar to look forward to until next year. But the generation that is here this morning, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 102, tells us that he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. We teach them how to put mustard and ketchup and relish on their hot dog. Teach them safety of fireworks. we learn about the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. We refer to the Constitution. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. We've taken these courses in high school and in college, and some of us have to study them all over again in our careers. But have we gotten a hunger and a passion to teach them about prayer? It's in fine print this morning. That he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. The generation amongst us may never know the brokenness of your past, but they'll see the blessing of your stewardship. They may never know the road of your conversion, but they see your worship. They may never have known the wretchedness of your past, but they see your anointing. Our Savior is aware of what we're facing in our homes. He's aware of what we need. He's can I just tell you that he's working all things together for your good. He regards your prayers this morning. He's an on-time God. And so pray. And pray often. Pray bold prayers. Pray specific prayers. Pray for me and pray for one another. Pray for your neighbors. Pray that the fire of God will consume your hearts and with a fresh passion for the apostolic demonstration across the Santa Maria Valley. Let's lift our voices this morning, this weekend. Let's lift our voices and declare that I'm going to praise him in the morning and I'm going to pray at night. I'm going to worship in the afternoon and I'll pray in the morning. I'm going to pray for my food. I'm going to pray in the morning and kneel before the Lord for devotion, because there's one thing that we can leave the next generation is that everything else and everyone else may forsake you, but it is written, he will not forsake the prayers of his people. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. He hears the groaning, but he's come to loose. There's some things that'll get loose when we begin to pray. Some of the things that we talk about praise and the shackles come off when you praise. But there's something when you begin to pray, when you begin to get locked in that vein of prayer, the dominion that you have in your prayers, that the power of life is in your tongue, and you begin to speak life in the things that were dormant. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, life. Giving waters, active waters. Our prayers activate things.
Yeah.
The musicians would come. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 145 and 11, the praise team as well, my apologies. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.